The healer had gone, taking her bundle of dried sage and the copper coins Ilse pressed into her palm, and left behind a silence that pressed against Ilse's ears like deep water. The cottage smelled now of burnt mugwort and the sour tang of fever sweat, a scent that clung to the back of Ilse's throat. Ilera had settled into a fitful doze, her small body twitching as if she were running through dreams, her blonde hair plastered to her forehead with moisture. Ilse sat by the hearth, staring into the embers, and counted the seconds between each of her daughter's shallow breaths. 7 years of solitude had taught her patience, but patience felt useless against a fever no herb could touch. Jaren stood by the table, his hands resting on the scarred wood. He had not moved since the healer departed. He looked smaller in the dim light, the bruises on his face casting shadows that made him look younger, less like a hardened traveler and more like a boy who had lost his way. But his eyes were sharp. They tracked Ilse's movements with a precision that made her skin prickle. "You cannot cure this with herbs," he said. His voice was low, raspy from disuse. Ilse kept her eyes on Ilera. "The marrow woman says it is a miasma, stagnant air, bad water." "She lies." Ilse turned her head slowly, meeting Jaren's gaze with an exhaustion that had replaced her earlier wariness. The knife was still in her apron pocket, but her hand stayed still. "Then tell me what it is." "She lies." Ilse's head snapped up. Her hand went to the knife she kept in her apron pocket, a reflex born of 7 years alone. "Watch your tongue." Jaren did not flinch. He simply leaned forward, his elbows on the table, his face inches from hers. The smell of him hit her wood smoke, old leather, and something else. Something metallic and cold, like the air before a storm. "It is not a sickness of the body, Ilse. It is a sickness of the place." She stared at him, the fire popped, sending a shower of sparks up the chimney. "Explain." "The pilgrim's road is not just a path, it is a binding." He tapped the table once, twice. The sound was dull, hollow. "My uncle taught me this before he died, before he forgot why he was guarding the stones. The road holds the dark back. It keeps the rot contained, but the road is breaking." Ilse felt a cold knot tighten in her stomach. She thought of the second waystone, shattered by Torvin's iron wedges. She thought of the air rippling above the stump, the distortion that looked like heat but felt like ice. "Torvin broke it." "Torvin broke a link," Jaren corrected. "But the break was already there. The stones have been singing for months. Can't you hear it? Not the hum, the note underneath, the fraying." Ilse closed her eyes. She tried to remember. In the night since Jaren arrived, she had woken to the sound of the stones, a low, resonant thrum that vibrated in her teeth. She had assumed it was the wind. She had assumed it was the earth settling. But now, thinking back, she remembered a discord, a wrongness, like a violin string tightened until it screamed. "And the sickness," she asked, "Ilera's sickness." "Drawn to the broken stones," Jaren said. "The thing that waits at the end of the road, it doesn't hunt flesh, it hunts memory. It hunts connection. When the road breaks, the barrier thins. The dark leaks through. And those who are closest to the break, they absorb it." Ilse looked at Ilera. Her daughter's chest rose and fell in shallow, rapid gasps. Her lips were cracked and white. Her skin was hot to the touch, burning with a fever that no herb could touch. "How do I stop it?" Jaren hesitated. For the first time, Ilse saw fear in his eyes, not for himself, for her. "You have to mend the stone." "That stone is shattered. There is nothing left but rubble." "Not the stone itself, the song." He reached into his tunic and pulled out a small, folded piece of parchment. He slid it across the table. It was a map, drawn in charcoal on rough vellum. It showed the pilgrim's road, stretching from Harrow's End to the Northern Hollow. But along the path, there were marks. Small, jagged lines where the road was cracked, where the stones were weak. Jaren pressed his palm flat against the table, fingers splayed, holding it there as if bracing against pressure. "Every morning," he said, voice low. He'd stand at each stone, hands on the rock, voice low, not singing, not like a bard, just names, the old names, the road held because he named it. Ilse felt a surge of anger, hot and bright. "My uncle is dead, and I am no singer." "No," Jaren agreed, "but your blood is the same." He leaned closer, voice dropping to a rough whisper. "Stand at the break. Place your hands on the stone. Speak what your uncle wrote in the ledger, the names, the dates, the travelers he turned away. Don't think, just speak. Fill the space before it gets in." Ilse looked at the map. She traced the jagged lines with her finger. There were 7 of them, 7 breaks in the binding, and the largest, the deepest crack was right here, at Harrow's End, at the second waystone. "If I try," she said, "and fail." Jaren's face was grim. "Then the dark takes Alara, and then it takes you, and then it takes everything north of the hollow." Il stood up. Her legs felt weak, but her spine was straight. She walked to the window and looked out at the night. The stars were hidden behind thick clouds. The wind was rising, carrying the scent of rain and rot. "I need to prepare," she said. Jaren nodded. "I will watch the road. The dark moves faster when the stones are broken. It will come for you while you are vulnerable." Ilse turned back to him. "Can you fight it?" "I can delay it," Jaren said, "but I cannot stop it. That is your burden, Ilse. That is your gift." She looked at Alara again. Her daughter's eyes were open now, glassy and unfocused. She was murmuring something, a wordless sound that sounded like crying. Ilse crossed the room and knelt beside the pallet. She took Alara's hand. It was burning hot, but her fingers were limp. "I am here," Ilse whispered. "I am here, little bird." Alara's eyes focused for a moment. "Mama," she said, "the sea." "I know," Ilse said, her throat was tight. "I know." "When will we go?" "Soon," Ilse lied, "when the fever breaks." Alara smiled, a weak, trembling thing, and then her eyes closed again. Her breathing shallowed. Ilse stood up. She walked to the door and drew the bolt. She stepped outside into the cold night air. The wind hit her face like a slap. She could feel the hum of the stones, faint and erratic, like a heartbeat skipping. She walked down the lane toward the second waystone. The mud sucked at her boots. The brambles tore at her skirts. She did not care. She needed to get to the stone. She needed to try. As she walked, she heard a sound behind her. A whisper, not from the wind, from the darkness. She turned, nothing but shadows, but the shadows were moving, thickening, coalescing. Jaren was right, the dark was leaking through. Ilse ran. She reached the waystone as the first drops of rain began to fall. The stone was a jagged stump, splintered and broken. Iron wedges jutted from its sides like broken teeth. The air around it shimmered, a distortion that made her eyes water. She placed her hands on the cold stone. She closed her eyes. She tried to remember. She remembered her father teaching her to plant wheat. "Deep roots, Ilse," he had said. "Deep roots hold through the storm." She remembered her uncle, sitting by the fire, reading from his ledger. "The road is a promise," he had said. "Keep the promise." She remembered Alara, laughing in the sun, her blonde hair catching the light. "Promise me you'll show me the sea," she had said. Ilse opened her mouth. She tried to speak, but no sound came out. Only a gasp, only air. The shadows were closer now. They swirled around her ankles, cold and viscous. They smelled of old graves and stagnant water. She pushed harder. She poured her will into the stone. "Hold," she thought, "hold." The stone vibrated. A low hum rose from its core, faint but steady. The shimmering air slowed. The shadows recoiled just slightly. Ilse opened her eyes. The hum was growing, louder, clearer. But it was not enough. The break was too wide. The dark was too strong. She needed help. She turned and ran back to the cottage. Jaren was standing in the doorway, his staff in hand, his face pale. "It's coming," he said. "I know," Ilse said. "I need your help." Jaren nodded. "Tell me what to do." Ilse grabbed his arm. "We have to go to the first waystone, the one at the start of the road. If we can sing together, if we can reinforce the beginning, maybe we can stem the flow." Jaren looked at the darkness closing in behind her. Then he looked at the road, stretching northward into the void. "Lead the way," he said. They ran into the rain.